Hey, what up, everybody? This is your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. We have a really solid episode for this week. Sorry I started a little bit late. The reason for that is the Chicago Auto Show started today, and I have a lot to talk to you about regarding that auto show, so stay tuned, because I got some really badass news. Hang on. Okay, welcome back to Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. So I know I am starting this week's episode a little bit late in the week, and I apologize. However, I have good reason. That reason being the Chicago Auto Show started this morning. Now, it's interesting because normally I'm on more of the East Coast, and I experience the Chicago Auto Show roughly when it actually starts. But I'm living in California right now, so I got to experience it at 5 o'clock in the morning, while everybody else on the East Coast was experiencing it at 8 o'clock in the morning. Time travel is crazy. It messes with your head, but it still gives you hope that great things are coming. And quite frankly, Chicago Auto Show nailed it. Let me tell you why. Actually, I have a laundry list of reasons why, but we're going to start with some news that I found on Autoblog, and then I'm going to get to this really awesome news that think you guys are really going to enjoy, especially for those people who have kind of not been on the internet today or won't be so much tomorrow, and of course who have no possibility of going to the Chicago Auto Show. That's why this episode is going to be so killer. So here we go. First thing is Honda decided to come out with my favorite color blue on the Civic Type R. Not only did they come out with my favorite color blue, though they call it Boost Blue, I prefer B5 Blue and couple other colors similar. This is just a gorgeous color. It's so vibrant, and it's very similar to the blue flame that's on my RAV4, so it's one reason why I'm really drawn to this. The other thing that might be appealing to some people looking forward to purchasing a Type R but didn't want to do it before because, well, fake vents turn you off. Fear not, my friends, because Honda has decided to drop those fake vents but have made this car all the better. They've increased the cooling, they've changed the suspension, and they've made a lot of other little design tweaks, including changing up the front fascia a bit to make it more appealing. Now the front fascia is a little bit more in line with the rest of the Civics, particularly the hatchback that it's based off of, but they increased the centerpiece of the grille to allow more airflow. So there's your cooling. There's probably some stuff underneath that adds to the cooling, but let's just go with that for now. Overall, the Civic Type R is a great car. Is it a great buy? I argue that it is, because you're getting quite a bit of performance in a very unique, very loud, and very, very much almost not Honda, but Honda. It's weird to say that because this is such a wild departure from typical Hondas. And frankly, even the Honda Accord is a wild departure from typical Hondas. So I'm really liking where Honda is going. Another car that's really taking the company by storm, and a lot of other Japanese companies by storm, is that Honda E prototype, which is also the Honda E concept, which now is just called the Honda E. Love it or hate it, it's a smart car. And I don't mean to say that in the sense that it's got a lot of technology in it, because it does, but it's smart in the sense that it's a throwback to Honda history, as well as being a good glimpse into the future. A lot of times we're kind of just inundated with these dystopian, post-apocalyptic futures that are just really depressing, but the Honda E gives you hope that the future could be pretty bright and smiley and cheerful. But the Honda E also has this playful side to it that's really good for sportiness. And could they make a Type R version of it? Abso-freaking-lutely. You have all of that torque instantaneously, and I think that car would just be a hoot. Is it coming to the US? I'm not quite sure. And if it's not, shame on Honda, because that car would be awesome. And I'm just really looking forward to get into one of those just to test drive it. Since this is a design podcast, let's talk about the design from the interior first. The interior is so retro and weird. It almost feels like you're sitting in the movie or the game Ready Player One. I don't know how else to describe it. There's screens everywhere. There's screens for your mirrors. There's screens for your gauge cluster. There's screens for your infotainment system. And there's screens for the passenger's infotainment system. It just goes on and on and on. Better yet, Honda was smart enough to include an HDMI port right in the center stack. Hell yeah. So now you can sit in. Oh, and the best thing is their advertisement shows people sitting kind of parked somewhere, and God knows where you would be able to do this, but parked somewhere in your parking lot or in your garage, in the city somewhere, and you just plug in your PlayStation 4, your Xbox, your Nintendo Switch, any of these games, and you can just sit there and play them right on the screen. You don't need to do what you used to do back 10, 20 years ago and bring a screen as well. You also have, an endless supply of screens. I'm wondering if there would be a way to tether all of the screens for something like a simulation, like a robo simulator or a flight simulator. That would be badass. And I probably would never leave my office room, where I do have two large monitors that are tethered together, but they're not like wrap around per se. So having the Honda E would be like the next level up. So I'm very curious as to how that would play out. All puns intended. Furthermore, the Honda E has like this this super classy vibe with... Okay, first of all, if you don't know what the Honda E is, it's the size of like a 500 Abarth or a little bit bigger because it's got... it's a little bit longer anyways. So it's that size, same kind of compact size. Maybe look at the Honda Fit. Very similar in size. And the inside, it's super roomy because there's not any transmission tunnel. There's a lot of storage space underneath the seats, underneath the back seats, in the trunk. The dash is pretty big. And there's just all these nice touches of storage space and thoughtfulness for a city person, a city dweller. And not only the screens are great, but they threw in wood grain, and it looks like a really solid wood grain, like a good, real wood grain. And why not? Why not show this off as a car that is very smart when it comes to being eco-minded and responsible when it comes to sourcing materials? So you could have all these plastics in there, but having plastics isn't so great because it requires oil refinery and it requires turning that oil into plastic. So that leads to a pretty decent sized carbon footprint. But if you had real reclaimed wood from, say, the sea or a burned down forest or places where you could get wood that's already been used, it's already gone through one life cycle, and turn it into something new, but really classy and retro for a Honda, that would be pretty badass. I don't know exactly what Honda decided to do with this, but regardless, it's a nice little touch, and it's very... it's just very out there. It's very unique, and I applaud Honda for doing that. So anyways, looking on the outside of the vehicle, it's very smart, it's very friendly and welcoming, and it just has that perfect shape for something that could be sporty. It just could be a smart, safe vehicle, and of course it's electric, so it's got a lot of electrical touches, something you would imagine there being an electric car. No mirrors, there's just cameras, big headlights that are a series of LEDs, and it's almost a screen. And it looks like two really friendly anime eyes looking at you. I don't know, I just love it. So if you have a chance, go check out the Honda E. It's a great little car, and it's managed to stay pretty close to its concept. So good job there, Honda. Next, we have what is kind of the bane of my existence, but I'm pleased to see that GM did something different this time around. GM has been known for cookie cutting pretty much all of their products. And for better or for worse, like, it worked out pretty well for the G8, some of the Holdens, like the Holden Commodore. It didn't work out so well for the Caprice when they finally ditched Pontiac and took the G8 body and essentially made a Chevy out of it. Really only for police use too. And then of course it's their big SUVs that they're all exactly the same, with the slight increase in niceties and technology as you go up the chain. So you start with your Chevy and your Tahoe and your Suburban, and then you go up to GMC with the GMC, I can't remember what it's called right now, but you have those, Chevy Tahoe, Chevy Suburban, GMC, Yukon, and the Yukon XL, and then you get into the Escalade, and then the Escalade has an ESV, which is the extended version. Well, frankly, they've all just looked the same, interior and exterior. Cadillac does take it a step further and gives you a slightly different console, different steering wheel and things like that, but overall, the vehicles look and feel basically the same, especially from the exterior. Yes, Cadillac has their own signature headlights and taillights, a lot of LEDs, but from a distance, and definitely from the roof, you wouldn't look at them and think that you were looking at anything but a Chevy. So, but this time around, Cadillac, GMC, and Chevy all have their own different flavors, still on the same platform, still generally, you know, but it's more than what you see on the exterior. The things that carry over are things that you don't really see. So that's good. The proportions, yes, the lengths and everything, very similar. But the interiors, very different. Now, Chevy and GMC have a slightly more similar style and everything than the Cadillac. The Cadillac just takes it to a whole new level. And one of the things that I really am excited to see is Cadillac's tri-level of, I don't know what kind of screens they, oh, triple curved OLED screens. So that's organic LEDs. And the pictures just make these things look gorgeous. The wood grain is a nice classic touch to this. And it, I kind of feel like this is a nice homage to older large SUVs from General Motors. And yet they, you know, it's got that modern touch and it's got the high techness that something that a luxury vehicle like a Cadillac would offer. But this massive array of screens doesn't necessarily feel out of place. So if you remember some of the big SUVs that GM had, they had like a center console that kind of tweaked towards the driver, which I thought was interesting because not many other companies were doing something like that. They weren't making it driver focused, and why not? They should be doing that. They should be making vehicles so that especially if it's something that you are in fact going to be driving and it's not autonomous, the driver should have the attention. That way things are easy for them to reach, it's intuitive, and you know, there's not a lot of distraction, there's not a lot of hand movements and all that kind of stuff. But Cadillac did a really good job, I think, of maintaining the focus on the driver, but also making the screen big enough that I would imagine the passenger could dabble in it if they so choose to. It looks very functional, very adaptive, and extremely colorful. Now, General Motors and Ford have had a history of not having the most intuitive of user interfaces. So we will see how this plays out in the near future. I'm not at Chicago this time. I really wish I was, but if I was, I would be taking pictures of this and videos and telling you how everything works. But I think Cadillac really has something on their hands here. And especially since SUVs and crossovers are the hot topic right now, this could be a big seller for Cadillac. So overall, a really nice design language. I like what they're doing. We'll just see if this is favorable for the big three, Chevy, GMC, and Cadillac. Now, I know generally the big three are Ford, FCA, and GM, but I'm talking about specifically General Motors and their three brands. The next thing I want to talk about, and feel free to put me on mute on this one, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I'm in love with this and I don't even have kids. But the 2021 Chrysler Pacifica, I know, it's a minivan. But what is the minivan to at least the United States? It's really everything. It is basically the pinnacle of family life. And being in America is partially about being able to come here, be free, and have a family and be able to provide for them and be able to do things with them and for them. Well, the minivan was everything that I just said. It was able to do all of that stuff. It was able to take a large family or a small family, cross country with a ton of stuff. And as the generations got better, you saw companies doing crazy things like putting storage in the floor, in the trunk, roof racks that collapse and hide away, power seats in the rear that tilt backwards to make a bench. These are awesome things that you just, I don't know, you gravitate towards when you get older. And maybe that's what it is. I'm just getting older. I'm married now, and I'm getting close to where kids might be a thing. And so I'm getting really excited about a minivan, and maybe I shouldn't be. But frankly, this is a podcast about design. So let's talk about the design on the Pacifica, because it sells. It's not selling in droves. The Grand Caravan certainly sold way more, and the Honda Odyssey and the Toyota Sienna were selling more. But the Pacifica shouldn't be cut out just because of its cost. You got to look at this vehicle from a design perspective. It's fresh, it's different, and it's upscale looking. There's not too many minivans. Well, first of all, there's not too many minivans in the U.S. anyways. Ford and GM are dropped out, and all you have left are Honda and Toyota. And both Honda and Toyota have had minivans that are the same for a long time. Now, yes, FCA also has had a minivan that's been on the market unchanged for over 10 years. But with the Pacifica, which has only been around for about 4 or 5, this is something that really sets FCA sets the bar higher for all the other minivan makers. And let me tell you why. Not only did they do a pretty substantial refresh to the front end, gave it a whole new face, they also were able to finally add all-wheel drive and keep stow-and-go. What is stow-and-go, you might ask? Well, stow-and-go is that in-floor storage system I was talking about that you would lose if you had all-wheel drive. Why? Because there's a axle that runs up and down the length of the car, connecting the front wheels to the rear wheels. I don't know what magic Chrysler did to make this work this time, but they did. I thought maybe they might put maybe hub motors or an electric motor in the rear and the gas motor in the front, powering the front wheels. I think that's what they did. However, that would really only apply to the hybrid model, the plug-in hybrid model. They were able to do this on all trim levels. So whatever wizardry happened to make this happen, it's a welcomed feature, and it'll probably start selling more now in places where all-wheel drive is a necessity. And people were going to the other automakers because they did offer all-wheel drive. Now, the other automakers don't offer stow-and-go in the middle row. They only offer it in the rear. Of course, they don't call it stow-and-go, but that's a trademark. But they did offer a lot of space, a decent price, and a lot of tech. FCA just took an even step further beyond the design changes and the addition of the all-wheel drive, and they came out with Uconnect 5. I know that sounds like, woo, yay, Uconnect. What the hell is Uconnect? Uconnect is the bread and butter of FCA products. It's been around for a while now, probably since 2004 or 2005 is when they first started coming up. They weren't called Uconnect, they were called MyGig. If you remember back that far, they were called MyGig, and MyGig was one of the first radios in a production vehicle that offered a hard drive where you could store music, pictures, phone numbers, contacts and stuff like that, and offer Bluetooth. Well, oh, and then also navigation on a hard drive rather than on a disk. That was pretty big news back then. Think about where we're at now. You need bigger screens, you need a really intuitive and fast touchscreen, and you need to have a lot of apps or connectivity to your phone, whether it's an iPhone or an Apple. iPhone or an Android phone. Guess what? You get all of that, and you get more. You get a head unit in the front that also tethers to the two TVs in the back, or they can be separate. The two TVs in the back can be separate from one another. It just keeps getting better. Everybody can have their own thing, and it's a minivan. Why wouldn't you want that? You want your kids to be quiet and not bother you while you drive, and you might not even want your wife or the husband, whoever's driving. You might not want your significant other to be bugging you while you drive. You just kind of want to do your thing. Well, now you can. So thanks to the Chrysler Pacifica of 2021, people are going to have all of the tech they could possibly need on their long road trip or just their trip to the grocery store. Now, one of the things I really love, let's talk about design, is the way they changed the taillights. Now, Dodge is the one that did the racetrack taillights first. We can argue that some car companies in the 90s did something similar, but with halogen bulbs, not quite the same. But then Dodge took LEDs and went the entire width in a full, well, oval-ish shape around the full width of the rear end. Chrysler probably wanted to take a little bit of the youth and the styling from Dodge, because the Grand Caravan will be no more after this year. In fact, they have a 2020 model year, but that's it. There's nothing else planned after that. So they decided to incorporate something very similar to the Durango's taillights into the back end of this minivan, and I think it works. I really do. Not only does it make the vehicle look wider because it's such a long stretch of taillights, it just makes it look more upscale. I think a lot of the Lincoln vehicles are also doing something very similar. And overall, it's just a nice touch. If you look really closely into these taillights, if you go on autoblock.com or allpar.com or just chrysler.com, you can see how detailed these taillights are. It's not just a ring of LEDs, there's layers. Now, as a designer, if you're designing something like taillights or just the vehicle overall, a couple things that I just mentioned you really need to consider are, how do I space my taillights out and how do I design them to make the vehicle look taller, wider, narrower, and more aggressive, more luxurious? These are things you need to think about when you're doing something as trivial as one might call the taillights. Listen, taillights before were really only there for the purpose of safety. Now, they're like the signature of a vehicle. Look at Dodge. Dodge has this racetrack taillight system that they've incorporated onto all of their vehicles, and that's their signature. You can't miss those vehicles. You know it's a Dodge. Now, as Ford and a couple other companies are starting to do full wraparound taillights, it's getting, the lines are getting a little bit blurred, but you can see that these vehicles are much wider, and maybe the taillights are wider than the vehicle really is, but that's okay because it makes the vehicle look wider and it gives the impression to the purchaser or the owner that, ah man, this is a wide vehicle. This is what I needed. I needed the width. And especially for a minivan where they rely on a large tailgate opening, they want that perception, whether it's false or true, they want that perception that this is going to haul a lot of stuff. Another thing that I really enjoyed about this vehicle was the addition of new textures and colors on the outside materials. We used to just see gloss black and chrome. And frankly, I've gotten over the gloss black and the chrome. I never really liked chrome. And gloss black, while it's nice in some vehicles, it's kind of been overdone, right? It's almost like the gloss black has become the new chrome. I'm not a huge fan of that. One thing I am a big fan, though, is how Lax, there's a company called Lax, and they've been doing a really good job of creating these really elegant and luxurious looking textures for grills, for badges, and for other trim and ornamentation on the outside and inside of the vehicle. So when you look at the Chrysler Pacifica now, they use this almost liquid metal kind of look. I don't know what they call it. It's I'd like to find what it's called. But it's a silvery color. It's not chrome, and I love it. It definitely looks more upscale, and it gives the vehicle street cred when they actually call it the Pinnacle. So there is a Pinnacle model now. It is the top of trim level of the Pacifica. And I like that because they didn't go and use another term that some other automaker has used, and they didn't bastardize Limited any further than anybody other already could. Limited really is unlimited, frankly, because there is no stop in productions of Limited models. When they say Limited, they're just limited in the sense that it's the higher trim, so there's a less amount of them than there would be the base models, but it's not really limited. Now, this Pinnacle, it really is the peak. When you get on the inside of this thing, you've got a really nice, it's hydro dip wood grain, but it still looks really nice and very upscale. The other thing that they did is they finally added that center console that they had in the Grand Caravan. I was begging Chrysler to make that and put that in the Pacifica because they lost that. that is definitely something people want, is to have that center console and not just an open floor space where it's like a bench. They've added really nice leather padding so that your knees have a nice bolster to rest up on. And then there's plenty of storage space. Apparently, you can fit 60 gallons worth of liquid inside there. Holy shit, that's a lot of liquid. But, or maybe it's, I don't remember, it was like 6 gallons or 60 gallons. Needless to say, maybe it was 60 liters. Who knows? I saw it somewhere, and it was an insane amount of liquid. I was just very taken back by how much storage space really is in one of those. And it's just functional. It's smart. It's good use of space. And it's helpful for parents and family who have a lot of kids or a lot of stuff to carry around. It's helpful for women who have a large purse. Anywho, check out the Chrysler Pacifica, the 2021 Chrysler Pacifica, because it introduced a new face, a new rear, new interior, much higher grade materials, and just an overall appeal. Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, everything you could want in something that's going to carry your family and keep everybody pacified, we'll say. Next thing I wanted to talk about, because it's kind of a hot topic right now, is, let me find it, hold on, I'm scanning Autoblog. Where is it? Ford GT. I don't have much time here. I've got 6 minutes left. But, oh, sorry, 4 minutes left. The Ford GT finally offers a bare carbon fiber body. Now, I know that means very little to some people because it's so far out of the price range of any, well, most people. But I gotta say, I gotta hand it to Ford. You guys did a great job of coming up with something that was American, number one. Well, it is built in Canada, but it's American designed and engineered. But it is a great homage to the original Ford GTs, Carroll Shelby, and that whole group of people who worked on this vehicle. And it's just sexy. We haven't had a vehicle like this for America. Now, if the Viper did this, that would be even better. But, you know, Viper's gone right now. But the Ford GT did it, and even though it's $500,000, it's sexy. And they definitely have a head turner on there. Now, I want to talk about the big news that I was mentioning at the beginning of this podcast, because this is very personal to me. I've had to keep my mouth shut for the past 8 months on this, and finally, I can open up my jab and tell you guys. Get on Autoblog.com, Jeep.com, Jalopnik.com, all part. I don't care. Get on some car website and check out the 2021 Jeep Gladiator Mojave. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because Jeep used the Mojave name on a special edition Wrangler Unlimited a few years back in 2014 on the JK. While that one was pretty cool, it didn't really add anything functional. All it did was add some graphics and made a Sahara a little bit more like a Rubicon, but not quite there. And it didn't have Fox shocks. You heard me. This vehicle has Fox shocks. And not only does it have Fox shocks like the Rubicon model does, it has a larger bodied external reservoir shock. And they are badass. They're black, they're orange, just like the badging on the side of this, on the side of the hood. The hood has a hood scoop. The front bumpers have integrated tow hooks that are orange. The interior has an all-black interior scheme with orange stitching, or a light gray interior scheme with the orange stitching and orange bezels around the vents, the AC vents. But it also has a new aluminum skid plate up underneath the front end, new wheels on Wild Peak all-terrain tires that are massive and just beefy. And here's the thing, this vehicle is introducing something new to Jeep, and that is, and new to the world, and that is, well, I shouldn't say new to the world, because Raptor, the Ford F-150 Raptor, and that is what this thing is going after. Now, I know it's not the same size as an F-150, but we don't have a Ranger Raptor here yet, so this is like the precursor to Ford's Raptor, Ford's Ranger Raptor. This is meant to go really fast in the sand and on some gravel.
while the Rubicon is meant to do really slow on rocks and through rough terrain. It's a very interesting trend that I cannot wait to see proliferate through the rest of Jeep products and future products. We'll see if it happens. Rubicon doesn't, it's specifically for Wranglers, but Trackhawk and Trailhawk do. So we will see where this goes. Maybe we'll have another Desert Hawk like we did with the Renegade. Maybe we'll see just more sand running vehicles to make Jeep that much more badass. Anyways, that's it for today. Go check out the Mojave Gladiator. It is epic. And let me know what you think. Go on Instagram, sketchbook_audio. Tell me what you think. I'm going to post some pictures. In the meantime, be good to one another. Peace.